In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's gospel, Jesus tells his disciple to pray continually and never lose heart. And this admonishment should lead us to reflect that prayer is not simply a series of words, either in speech or in thought, nor does it consist simply in petitions or requests for help. It can include praise and thanksgiving and sorrowful laments and searching questions. Prayer also includes the liturgy, the public prayer of the church, such as the sacraments, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and the liturgy of the hours. And it includes as well what we call sacramentals, such as the rosary, novenas and litanies, the lighting of votive candles, and the Divine Mercy chaplet. Prayer includes all these things and so much more. The great Eastern doctor of the church, St. John of Damascus, said that prayer is the raising of one's mind and one's heart to God. Understood in this way, prayer is an attitude, or even better, a relationship. It is a relationship of love between the individual soul and the triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In many ways, it is not unlike the relationship between a husband and a wife. In a good marriage, the husband and wife cannot be both consciously thinking of one another all the time. Yet everything they do, their jobs, their children, their hobbies, the way they interact with others, their whole lives are based on that relationship, on their love for one another, and their commitment to marriage and family. In the same way, our prayer life should transcend the boundaries of formal spoken prayers, either private or liturgical. Our relationship with God, who is, after all, pure love and absolute truth and justice, should penetrate and possess all our lives, all our thoughts and activities. There is a beautiful meditation by St. Vincent de Paul in which he says, "If a needy person requires medicine or other help during prayer time, do whatever has to be done with peace of mind. Offer the deed to God as your prayer. Do not become upset or feel guilty because you interrupted your prayer to serve the poor. God is not neglected if you leave him for such service. One of God's works is merely interrupted so that another can be carried out." In the same spirit, St. Teresa of Avila, the great Carmelite reformer and doctor of mystical theology, rebuked one of her sisters who, after she had been in an ecstasy of contemplation, upon leaving the chapel, spoke unkindly to another sister. "The prayer which is animated by true charity is never impatient or unkind, selfish or deceitful. It is an unfailing source of joy and of peace, of life and of love." One of the great poems on prayer is by the 17th century English clergyman, George Herbert, and it well captures, I think, that spirit of relationship and of love, which is at the heart of John of Damascus's definition of prayer as being a raising of the mind and heart to God. "Prayer, the church's banquet, angels' age, God's breath in man returning to his birth, the soul in paraphrase, heart in pilgrimage, the Christian plummet sounding heaven and earth, engine against the Almighty, sinner's tower, reversed thunder, Christ's side-piercing spear, the 6 days world transposing in an hour, a kind of tune which all things hear and fear. Softness and peace and joy and love and bliss, exalted manna, gladness of the blessed, heaven in ordinary, man well dressed, the Milky Way, the bird of paradise. Church bells beyond the stars heard, the soul's blood, the land of spices, something understood." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.